According to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the banquet, the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know the day nor the hour.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, for whose life, death, and resurrection we give thanks and for whom we wait. Amen. So it's been 3 years since together we have approached this difficult story. The story that Jesus begins with, "The kingdom of heaven will be like this." It's harsh. We know that we're the fools in the story, and it appears that the fools get rejected in the end. So it makes us say, ouch, when we read it. But here it is. Every 3 years, it shows up again for us to peer into, and that's one of the gifts of the lectionary, that it causes us to come up against uncomfortable texts again and again and again through our lives. Every 3 years we get them. It doesn't always feel like a gift when preparing to preach, but I do trust that it is a gift to spend time in Scripture, maybe even especially in the parts that make us uncomfortable. So, the kingdom of heaven is like 10 bridesmaids waiting to greet the groom. It's important that we know these are not just 10 women waiting, because this image of the church, us, the church being Christ's bride, is very biblical, and it's all through many parts of our Bible. And as a matter of fact, not just that the church, we, the church, are Christ's bride, like in the New Testament, but even in the Old Testament, the Lord's bride was Israel. So this is a long time image that Jesus is using to tell this story. So it's not just 10 women. These women are the church. And they all intend to meet the groom, the bridegroom, as they call him in this story. And there is no room for interpreting which ones are wise and which ones are foolish, because Jesus says it right there when he's telling the story. Again, this is the story that begins, "The kingdom of heaven will be like this." So in the kingdom of heaven, there are foolish, unprepared people and wise, prepared people. And that's actually great news for me, because it's good that both kinds make it, you know, we all get to be in the kingdom of heaven. But you know what else happens in the kingdom of heaven, according to this parable? People get tired and they get to take a nap. I think that's good news, too. They waited for the bridegroom. He was delayed, and they had had a long, busy wedding day, right? They were probably up with the sun. And when they had been awake too long and waiting too long, when the whole long day is catching up with them, they all, prepared and unprepared, they all get drowsy and rest. Then someone sees that he's coming and wakes everybody up, and all the women, prepared and unprepared, grab their lamps and light them so they can trek out into the dark, it's midnight, to meet the bridegroom down the road. But the foolish ones didn't bring any extra oil for their lamps, and they're starting to go out. The wise ones each brought their lamp and also a flask of oil so they could refill their lamp if the flame starts to flicker because the oil is low. Now, if you've ever seen my office here at church, you would see that I'm not a very organized person. I do not wonder at all which group I would be in these women with lamps and oil. I would be sidling up to someone like Eileen or Lane or somebody. Maybe Amy, our office administrator, would be there with me and making sure I have what I need. Because we know they would have a flask of oil and a full lamp. I would be smiling at them and asking them for some oil because, you see, I meant to grab my flask of oil and bring it along with me, but I couldn't find mine. I know I put it somewhere, and so I wouldn't forget it, right? So I even said that to myself. Okay, when I put this away last time, I thought, okay, I'm going to put it here, so next time I need it, I know where it is. But seriously, I couldn't remember where that place was. And it was getting time to be getting going, and the dogs still needed to get fed, so I went to the kitchen to feed them, but I saw that the milk had been left out, so I put that away, and then I remembered that I was going to a wedding, and I was dressed up, and my everyday purse is pretty scruffy, and I really should run into my room, and I just needed quickly, I'll be quick, I just need to dig through that bin where I keep other purses, and so I do, and I find my nicest purse, but it's still full of the things that I had in it last time I was dressed up, so I have to take those out, and then I need to put in stuff that I need for today for this wedding. And then that whole time, my brain really was trying to remember where I put that flask. But by then, I just really had to go. Even if I had found the flask, there would have been no time, you know, to go to the market and get the oil. So I just ran out the door, and I just hoped that my lamp had enough. I even had it on, like, power-saving mode, right? I just kept it really dim, and I still ran out of juice anyway. And you know what Eileen and Lane and Amy and the rest of you who know how to find your flask when you need it? You know what I believe that they would say to me? I believe that those wise, prepared women would say, Jennifer, I can pour a bit of oil in your lamp. I likely have enough for mine and a little bit for yours, and why don't you stick near me while we make this little journey out to the road? That way, if your lamp does go out, you'll be able to use my light from my lamp. That is the story that feels right. After the beginning of this parable, when Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven will be like this. It doesn't feel right to hear that half the bridesmaids, the church, tell the other half of the bridesmaids, also the church, that they are out of luck and it doesn't even occur to them to share. And at the end of this parable, it hurts me to read that if the foolish, unprepared ones are out of luck, if when we finally get to the market and back and make our way to the groom, and we knock on the door, if after finally getting there, what we hear is, I don't know you, that's painful to hear. Now, we know that this is not a parable about being organized or disorganized. And it's not actually about whether you can find your oil flask if you put it someplace or remembered to schedule a trip to the market to the oil supplier to have enough oil. And we also know that Matthew was writing to the Jewish leaders in that community, and he wrote his gospel to them about who Jesus is and what the kingdom of heaven is like. So a story where the church is split and some people are behaving this way and other people are behaving this way, it's not really surprising in the midst of this Matthew gospel. And we also know that it really is about waiting for Christ. Even the most organized among us, the ones who would definitely have enough oil, are foolish and not ready for Christ's return. We all miss opportunity after opportunity to serve our neighbor in Jesus' name. And we all spend this time in between the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus and the return, right? This in-between time, we all spend it sinning against God in thought, word, and deed. We all overlook our own sin while we're pointing at someone else. So parts of this parable scratch up against the loving God that we know came to save, not to condemn, the whole world, not just those who are doing it right. And we do approach all of Scripture trusting that it has something to teach us, some way to shape us. So for right now, until something more is revealed, let's acknowledge that every one of those bridesmaids was tasked with waiting. And waiting is such hard work. Waiting seems to make the clock hands move through molasses. And it's hard, and we are not great at it, especially in our culture now, right? We all know this. If you have any question, you can reach into your pocket and the internet is on your phone and you can have information immediately. And if somebody waits an hour, doesn't text you back for an hour, you think, why am I having to wait so long for this response? And we are waiting for Christ's return. This is 2,000 years later. We are in a much longer waiting game than St. Paul or the writers of these Gospels. And until, in God's good timing, Christ returns, we wait. The question is how we wait. What if we were to use our waiting for Christ to ease the waiting that others are living with? What if while we wait for Christ's return, we look around and wonder who is about the difficult business of waiting and learn what they're waiting for and then see how we can serve them? What if we look around and we might just find that some people are waiting for food? So while we wait, we share. We share what we have and we work to end hunger. The 21st of each month, our church has been praying and fasting to end hunger. And the 21st is coming up again, during the same week that we will gorge ourselves on Thanksgiving feasts. What if on the 21st of each month, we looked around and found people who are waiting so we can serve them? What if our prayer and fasting turned into service? Who do you suppose we might find waiting? And for what do you suppose they're waiting? Jesus says some pretty clear instructions for us. One of them is visit those who are in prison. In prison, we will find people waiting for parole hearings, for a retrial, for a call from an attorney, for freedom, for a visit, some for death. How might God use us as we wait for Christ to meet other people in their waiting? We will find people waiting in hospitals and doctor's offices. They are waiting for news, for a test result, for the next dose of pain relief, for healing, for a visit, for death. We will find people waiting in our community, waiting for justice and freedom from violence, and a kind word or employment. We will find people waiting for grief to become lighter, for something to laugh about, for a positive pregnancy test or for a negative pregnancy test? For a birth? For an adoption? If while we wait for Christ's return, we turn ourselves outward and look for those who are doing the hard work of waiting, we might just find a student waiting to feel successful. We might find a teacher waiting to be acknowledged, or a boss waiting for this month's financial report to see if she has to lay off any more employees. Or we might find a child waiting to be an adult so that he can get out of his unhealthy household or dangerous neighborhood. We might find a middle-aged person waiting and wondering if it's time for mom to go into assisted living. We might find an aging woman waiting and wondering if it's time for her to go into assisted living. So while we are waiting, since the bridegroom as of yet does seem to be delayed, when we are drowsy, we can sleep. But when we are rested and still waiting, we can use our waiting to the glory of God to do the things that the Christ for whom we wait asked us to do. To visit the sick and visit the prisoner and care for the vulnerable. He called them widows and orphans, but we know many more vulnerable people. Feed the hungry and work for justice until, as we heard from Amos today, it rolls down like ever-flowing streams. And while we wait, we worship, and we eat the meal, and we splash the water, and we pray, and we sing the praise, and we do all of that to be strengthened so that we can go and find those who are waiting and serve them. That's the call. Amen.